confident, on track, focused, optimistic. If that's how you'd like to feel about your financial future, talk to Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Willard. Whether you're planning for retirement, saving to send your kids to college, or thinking about starting a business, Jeff Willard will work with you to find the right solution for your needs so you can start feeling good about your financial future. Call Jeff Willard at 425-372-4743 today. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD. Offices are located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004.
Hello?
Be part of the Jewish community without ever leaving your home. Read up on the latest news in the Pacific Northwest Jewish communities. From essays to events, world news to sports, the JT News covers it all. It's the premier Jewish newspaper that connects us all. So pick up a copy of the JT News and get plugged in to the Jewish community. Call 206-441-4553. That's 441-4553. Or visit us on the web at jtnews.net. So don't wait. Subscribe today and see for yourself why the JT News is your Jewish paper.
We are back. We're trying this interesting technology. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think the point I'm trying to make is something very profound, that us as individuals have to realize the comfort that we live in. And the idea about, imagine getting up every single morning. And what's shocking to me is how people really understand this in their minds, and they can analyze this, and they can feel it. But the moment that it has something to do with Israel, or the moment that has something to do with going against the Hamas or any other movement, it seems like people lose their rational thinking. And I never could understand, how is it that we as individuals have the power and the ability to understand general concepts? We can comprehend the most complicated concepts. We can be the most passionate individuals when it comes time for us to show our compassion. And so many of us forget about the proper and justice way of how we deserve our right to defend our security. And I like the example I hear constantly, people saying, when that snooper was out there going back a couple of years ago in Chicago, the entire city was shut down. Every time a person left the mall, the malls were desolate. People were just scrambling for shelter. But for some odd reason, we can't use that same analogy, and people can't make that bridge in relationship to understand the security of the land of Israel. And I really think that if people think for a moment, and the more I have these discussions with individuals, and the more we actually analyze this concept, what's fascinating to me is that people are beginning to understand. And I think people are starting to say, you know something? I don't understand why Israel can't just defend themselves. That's all they're trying to do. Here they went ahead, they gave back the land, they went ahead, they made it easy. They gave back, they almost created a situation that to me was like, wow, you're uprooting communities, closing schools, closing everything in Gush Katif a couple of years ago, giving it to the Palestinians for them to establish a homeland. Instead, it became a haven for terrorism, and it became a place where Hamas was able to grow. And not only grow, was able to... To me, what's fascinating is that if you do this on Google, I'm sure there's many ways you can YouTube it, there's this interesting clip going around that I've seen it a couple of times already about how there's this young Iranian school that the teacher is basically teaching kids in the age of 3 to 5 years old the importance of self-sacrifice, the importance of being a martyr, the importance of acting begrudgingly against enemy, the importance of hate. And to me, it's amazing how sweet-looking people, and you watch the video, you say, wow, they look sweet, innocent individuals. How is it that you could be so demented, and you could be so crooked in your thinking, and you can harbor such deep levels of hate that you would want to infuse this into a young child's brain? I cannot understand this, and I really encourage people to look at these videos. I know one of the places you can see it clearly is on JerusalemPost.com. And what's interesting is that when you watch these videos and you see how the children are just shaking their heads, almost like brainwashed, you wonder, like, really, how are we going to fight terror if at the same time you're trying to settle things and put things to an end? There's a whole wave of individuals that are growing with tremendous an attitude of negativity, an attitude of hate, an attitude of looking at the other individual as if they're evil. And I think to me that's heartbreaking. And it's a tremendous mind and eye-opener that we as individuals, especially in the land of America, if people understand the freedom of comfort, of security, the freedom of that we have to roam and act and build communities as we like, we can go to the mall today, you can go to the theater, you can drive on the highway, and not once in your mind do you have to think twice that a Kedushik rocket will come blasting through your back window and killing your children, or coming through your front window and killing yourself, or going through a apartment building and killing many. We don't think on those terms. And the reason is simply because we have sort of been grandfathered with the tremendous beauty and comfort of security. And to me, I don't understand, and I almost make a plea to people to open their minds and think for a moment, why does Israel not have that same right? Why does Israel not have that same ability to literally look and protect and act righteously with their people that cohabitate their land? If you live in the land of Israel and you're a loyal member of the land of Israel, and all you want to do is go to work, raise your family, and do goodness and kindness in the world. At the same time, you have to be concerned about people on the other side of the fence that literally want to destroy your comfort of life. And to me, that, I think, without going any deeper, without people rationalizing who it is, what it is, Jews, non-Jews, I don't think it even needs that discussion. And yet, so many of us, you'll find, will right away jump to conclusions and say, but I don't think there is any room for but. And I'm thankful that Israel today is looking at things from a different perspective. They're standing strong and they're saying, listen, we have innocent civilians, we have mothers, we have children, we have young adults, old individuals that are just trying to live a regular life. Our job right now is to protect and bring security to them. And the shocking thing is that when you read articles and you see news clips and you talk to individuals, for some odd reason, that is not echoed throughout the world. Yes, here and there someone pops up and says, yes, I support the land of Israel. Yes, Bush, we know, is a tremendous support for the land of Israel. He says, hey, let them do what they got to do. Obama, till this day, has not come out and said anything. What's amazing is that I don't understand why is it difficult for an individual to speak up and say, defend yourself when your civilians are being attacked. And everyone will find every excuse in the book. every right and every rhyme why it should not work or why it's not the right thing they're doing. I don't understand until the point, what point do we have to wait to? That's my first thought. And I think it's an important thought because you're not going to hear this drilled in on different radio programs. You're not going to hear it analyzed. Even on Schmooze Radio, we rarely talk about politics. But I think as we stand today, and the Israeli soldiers, the IDF, it's going in by foot into Gaza. And it's not a safe thing, obviously, when there's face-to-face combat. But one thing is certain. I think we as individuals that have rights, and we as individuals that were granted the ability to think freely, our mind is not warped. It bothers me when you come across an individual that seemingly is intellectual and bright and makes proper decisions in many aspects of life. When it comes to a situation regarding Israel, all of a sudden the barrier drops and the guard is down, and boom, the normal way of thinking, the intellectual approach, how 1 + 1 = 2 does not exist anymore. And I think we as individuals have to talk about this, and we have to challenge those that say differently. Because ultimately, if we live in a land of peace, and we all hope, you know, you talk to a person, you say, really, what do you care for? At the end of the day, what do you want in this world, the big picture of the world? I believe one of the top five things people are going to say, that there should be peace. We want happiness in the world. We want everyone getting along. Yes, I know now in the last couple of months, the economics, the security of job security, financial security is a big, big deal. And it's on people's minds for a very simple reason, because that's where people are affected. But if, God forbid, there was another catastrophe like 9/11, all of a sudden people would be saying, oh, who cares about what I have in the bank? At least I have my life. And everything is always according to the perspective of how you summarize and how you analyze your life, what's important, what's less important. But I think what is important now, and what's not only important, what is so foundational to the existence of peace in the world, is that people should, like us, that live in a land of freedom, in a blessed land of freedom. America, people don't realize how blessed we are to live in a country that you can say what you like, you can act the way you want in a proper manner, you can study and learn any religion you want freely, openly, and not be embarrassed or shy the way you dress or the way you think. And you have the ability to do open commerce and be successful, and literally it's a land of opportunity. I think us as Americans have to sometimes say, wait a second. We cannot understand what's going on in Israel until we actually witness and feel that same challenge that we would have in our life.
There's no connection fee, no monthly fee, no minimum time.
I guess we're going into a break now, so listen to the break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Card when you need to, for as little as $5. There's no need to change your long-distance carrier. With VTEL, you can use any phone in the U.S. and Canada, pay phones, even your own cell phone. So what could be easier and less expensive? Crystal clear lines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with VTEL. Find out more by calling 206-817-1747. That's 206-817-1747.
Join the Friendship Circle, a project of the High Center of Greater Seattle. That's a nonprofit organization. The Friendship Circle is made up of five parts: volunteers, children, parents, staff, and supporters. The true beauty of the circle is how we all link together to form a seamless circle of friendship. Through our Friends at Home program, we match teens with special needs children for the mutual benefit of both. The teens pay a weekly visit to the home of a special child, where they offer friendship, recreational interaction, arts and crafts, homework support, life skill enhancement, and more. It bolsters brotherhood and promotes volunteerism by youth as well as adults. If you know a teen that would like to volunteer, please give us a call at 206-525-5011 or visit us on the web at friendshipcirclewa.com and learn more about how you can participate. The Friendship Circle and you, together, we can perform miracles.
Well, welcome back to Shmooze Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Rabbi Elazar Gamelsky. We are trying this new technology. Both myself and Moti are abroad, and we're trying to do this interesting connection. So I'm not sure how we're coming across, but...
Well, I'm here with you, Rabbi.
Oh, Moti, a pleasure.
You know, it's interesting. I'm following the news, and following the news very closely, calling people in Israel, reading all the Israeli papers, the American papers. And one of the interesting things that I'm seeing is that I think there is a lot of support in America because, as you mentioned, I think people here are getting it in the United States. I think they understand that people were just being bombed, you know, but missiles were coming over from the border and hitting and targeted at civilians. And so I think people are getting it. What's not reported as much in the American papers as in the Israeli papers is the length that the Israeli government has went to protect civilian lives in the Gaza Strip. What they've been doing, for example, is before there's an attack around the Hamas military area, if there's civilians around, they actually call them up. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
In other words, they'll actually call up the people in the neighborhood and say, listen, you know, basically they're eliminating their surprise in order to save civilian life.
You know, and what's interesting is, if you spoke to any army general or any regular army individual, and you told them that that was a tactic, how we're going to go to war. Imagine you're going to war with a country, and every time you're about to bomb a certain building, you give them a warning. I think it's a 3-minute warning or a 10-minute warning. I can't remember what
no,
I read.
Well, it depends, but I was reading it was 15 minutes for the most part.
15 minutes, so there you go.
And also they text messaged some people, which I thought was kind of really interesting, how they got all these numbers, and they text messaged people. And say, listen, but I think the reason is because they're not after people. What they want to do is they want to destroy the bombs. They want to destroy the Katyushas. They want to destroy the Qassam rockets. And they want to destroy the missiles. That's what they want to do. And they want to destroy the tunnels that help more missiles come in for all purposes, you know, being funded from Iran. So this is really a fight in a lot of ways against Iran. I mean, they're the ones funding the Hamas.
I'll tell you what's very interesting.
Supporting the Hamas, and I think the people of Gaza, a lot of them are pretty frustrated with Hamas, and you'll hear them actually. You know, a lot of them are saying, you know, why did they build these tunnels around me? I don't want these here. They didn't want to live next to. I mean, who would want to raise a family next to a military installation where there's bombs? I mean, no one.
Right. No, it's a very interesting thing. I'll tell you what I find ironic a little bit. You know, I was watching one of the Israeli channels, and I came across a clip. I think it even might be on YouTube of a Havganah, which basically means a demonstration taking place in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv. And what's interesting is that as this Havganah is going on, there is a mixture of Israeli and Arabs that are obviously left, and they don't agree with the whole thing about the IDF going to war. And they interview this Arabic woman, and she says something to me which was so profound and shocking, and I can't believe how the one that was interviewing just said, okay. Basically, what she said was that, I don't understand why Israel's making a big deal. How many people were actually killed by these Kedusha rockets? So what? They keep on throwing them. And I'm thinking for a moment, like, what is this lady off her rocker? I mean, is that, in other words, When do you go to war? When 500 people get killed, or 600, or 75? In other words, what's the number? Or is it about security? Or is it about that?
Well, let's talk about it in terms of rockets, okay? Because one of the reasons that the casualties on the Israeli side from the rockets was smaller than some people would expect, because they have this warning system, which is about 15 seconds of warning. Okay, but 15 seconds, so what does that mean? People don't live, for the last, you know, several years, people haven't been living a normal life. What they do is that they if you're in a kindergarten, you make sure that you're within 15 seconds to get every kid inside of that bomb shelter. They don't take, you know, they don't take kids out on field trips. They're not in the parks. They just keep them close to a bomb shelter. And that's what life was about. But, you know, what's interesting is how many missiles would any country, let's just do United States for a moment, because we know it. It's our country. If there was a terrorist group in Mexico that launched one missile at the United States, what would we do? If they launched two missiles, what would we do? How about 10? Well, the number that people don't realize, because it hasn't been in the front page of the news, is that there was over 6,000 rockets and missiles fired at Israel since the Israelis left Gaza. Over 6,000.
Wow.
And that's an enormous number. I think a lot of people who even support Israel don't realize that there was that many rockets. Over 6,000. Could you imagine any country, you know, tolerating 10?
Moti, I saw a very interesting clip that was put together to give a sort of important analogy, because sometimes, like you're saying, 6,000.
Over 6,000.
Or more than 6,000. But the idea is, that number is so hard to comprehend, because what does it mean? And what does it mean to the people that are living there? And I saw this clip once, which I recently someone emailed me. I thought it was a very fascinating way of describing the fear and the terror of what goes on. And it shows a little girl, maybe 8 or 9 years old, playing hide-and-go-seek with her friends. And she's counting to 15, like you mentioned, you know. She's counting to 15. And as she closes her eyes and she's sort of counting to 15 to play this hide-and-seek game, the siren goes off, and all her friends run to these
bomb shelters.
Yeah, these bomb shelters. And like boom, you know, you hear a blast. And this is all going on within 15 seconds. People can't comprehend, and it's not our fault, because we live in luxury. We live in the comfort of security. It's hard for us to comprehend, and this is like what you're saying is a lot of people are getting the message, and I do believe that this time Israel has tremendous support. But
Egypt understands why they're doing this. I mean, there's Arab countries who, even though they're publicly saying they're against it, they're saying Hamas brought this on by themselves. Egypt is saying that. I mean, Egypt, there's ministers of Egypt that are saying, Hamas, you brought this on by yourself. You know?
Listen, to me, what's amazing is, I mean, what's amazing is, I don't understand when I read and you hear discussions, how people go ahead and say, I'm going to go give another $10 million or $15 million. To rebuild and what are you doing? In other words, you're not giving money where it's being structured. Obviously, we're not talking about 20 years over here. We're talking about it's a little over 3 years. 3 years since the Jews pulled out of Gush Katif, gave back Gaza, and 3 years.
Wait, I gotta correct you. They didn't give back Gaza. Okay, they left Gaza. There's a big difference.
Yes, you're right.
If they gave it back, they would have given it back to Egypt. There was never a Palestinian state there, and the Israelis said, go ahead, make a Palestinian state there. That was their stated goal. But after Hamas took power, the stated goal changed from creation of a Palestinian state to the destruction of the Israeli state. That's what that is the chartered Hamas goal, the destruction of Israel. And so I just have to, you know, correct language because it's not
I agree with you
back.
Because we get carried away saying give back. But the truth is, when you think about it, that the establishment, you know, people, you know, this is already an old story. People forgot, and people forget quickly these things because it's not happening here in America. But if someone understands what the lifestyle, and I was there many years ago in the Gush Katif, the beautiful parks, the schools, the facilities, the way they developed that entire area, it was really a beautiful middle to upper class neighborhood.
I'll up you one. I was actually in Gaza under the Palestinian Authority before Hamas took over, and things were running pretty well. Okay, I mean it was Hamas that totally wrecked that place.
And there you go. So there you go. In 3 years, the entire place became a dump. And what do? They're spending all the money that they're getting and everything building camps to basically attack Israel. So to me, how anyone can even say, but I
don't think people are anymore. I think in Europe they are. But
maybe
I think
once in a while, even here in Seattle, I got to tell you the truth. You'll bump into someone. And there might be someone listening even out there that will say, what do you mean? You're not sure? Come on. I think people have to really open their minds and really have an open...
All right, let me put it this way then. Yeah, there are people that say but, a few. But there is no one who understands the news that goes on there, the current history, the current situation, and the history from just a year, two, three, four, 5 years back, and who's intelligent that would say but. It's just, that's impossible. It's just such a clear-cut issue at this time, is that you have terrorists, recognized by the United States State Department, terrorists. The Hamas is a terrorist organization launching missiles targeting civilian populations. And that's, you know, and let me ask you,
Motia, interesting, challenging question. Because on one hand, you're saying that people get it. This time they get it. But yet, when you read Israeli news, you'll see there's a part of people that live in Israel that are demonstrating against this whole concept.
Not very many. You know, in any population of any significant size, you're always going to get a few, you know, tens of people, hundreds of people, you know, saying something. And as a newspaper, you want to cover that just to make it a little bit more interesting, but it's not. It's a minority thing. But anyway, we have a break coming up, so let's talk about this when we come back.
Okay, great. We're going to take a short break now. You're listening to Shmooze Radio. We'll be back right after these messages.
Be part of the Jewish community without ever leaving your home. Read up on the latest news in the Pacific Northwest Jewish communities. From essays to events, world news to sports, the JT News covers it all. It's the premier Jewish newspaper that connects us all. So pick up a copy of the JT News and get plugged in to the Jewish community. Call 206-441-4553. That's 441-4553. Or visit us on the web at jtnews.net. So don't wait. Subscribe today and see for yourself why the JT News is your Jewish paper.
At Ameriprise Financial Services, we think it's time to retire some old ideas about retirement. Today, retirement is active. It's on the go. It's all about trying all the things you didn't have time for during your working years. But it takes planning. Start by talking to Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeff Willard. He'll help you feel confident about your retirement plans. Call Jeff Willard at 425-372-4743 today. Offices are located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD.
Welcome back to Shmooze Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Rabbi Elazar Bogomolsky.
I'm your co-host, Moti Krathamer.
And those that are wondering why we are sounding like we're in a different country, we almost are. But we're trying this interesting technology, and we had sort of a little bit of hiccup during the beginning of the top of the hour, but I think things seem to be smooth going ahead. So welcome back, everybody. And we're talking about the situation, what's going on in Israel, the war that's going on now, as the troops, as we speak, they're walking through Gaza and hopefully eradicating any type of Hamas remnants of terror, because ultimately that's what it's all about. It's about eradicating terror from this world, and Israel is really trying to do this very delicately, and they're trying to really go in with a comb and to the best of their ability not harm any civilians. As you mentioned, Moti, there's even a 15-minute warning before they blow up any building or any area that the Hamas has their ammunition there and their rockets stored. And I think it's very interesting. It's very fascinating because this is so anti the general concept of war, how you have to go to war between a bunch of civilians. It's a very different type of war.
Well, usually you don't have to go to war between civilians. In other words, most of the times, and the reason you haven't heard this too often is because most of the times when there's wars, there's one army and there's another army, and they have a war on a battlefield. And even if there's munitions, it's in a military spot. What Hamas does as a tactic is they actually put the munitions in civilian neighborhoods. And they're making the people as a human shield. And what happens is if the Israelis don't want to hit those targets because there's human shields, Palestinian human shields, Hamas wins. If the Israelis hit the targets and there's civilian casualties, then Hamas wins because they call these people martyrs and they say, look what's happening, look what Israel's doing. So they're trying to use their own citizens as kind of like, as a propaganda tool, and the Israelis are trying to fight that by calling up on cell phones and dropping flyers and calling on regular phones and saying, get out of the neighborhood, we're about to bomb the munition plant in your neighborhood. And so it's a very different situation than most people have ever seen in a war before.
Let me ask you an interesting question, because I know you read a lot about what's going on in Israel. You really have the impulse of what's going on in Israeli news, and I think it's important that us here in America have a deeper understanding and knowledge. But my question to you is as follows. Here Israel's going in, trying to remove any type of warehouse that stores these type of Kedusha or Salma rockets, and obviously kill as many terrorists as possible. My understanding is that if you're getting a 15-minute warning, part of that 15-minute warning is going out to Hamas people as well. In other words, they're plugged
in.
Yeah,
but they can't get the missiles out fast enough.
I understand. So reality, no, my question is, in the big picture, it's really only putting a Band-Aid, or is it?
No. If they could actually get rid of the tunnels that bring more missiles in and they destroy the current missiles, then the people could be as militaristic and jihadist or whatever else you want to call them as they can be. But if they can't launch a missile because they don't have one, then the mission was accomplished.
I know, but what's stopping in 6 months for them to recamp and reinforce their ties with Iran and
they
pull
have
another
ties.
Tunnel?
They don't have to reinforce the ties with Iran.
No, I'm just joking. In other words, let's build another tunnel or have another ship come in to board. In other words, if the infrastructure can they really dismantle the entire infrastructure? Obviously, their individuals will be roaming around, Hamas individuals, but without a leader, without proper funding and all that stuff, and obviously without.
My guess is that they could, and my guess is if they did and they started building another tunnel, I would bet that the neighbors, the innocent neighbors around the tunnel will start fighting Hamas and say, you're not building that next to my house because I saw what happened 6 months ago. They won't The population won't put up for it. Because the population, I think they want to live normal lives, most of the population. And so I don't think they'll be able to get away with it.
So back to I guess to my question, that if that's the case, did Israel make a mistake by not attacking them sooner?
Absolutely. Israel should have attacked. Israel, one of the problems was after 2005, after the Israelis left Gaza, they should have said, listen, you said move, the settlements were an issue, we got rid of the settlements. You said, you know, that Israeli soldiers being in Gaza, we got rid of that. In other words, there's not a single Jew, dead or alive, with the exception of the one Jew, a corporal that they captured, that Hamas captured and brought into Gaza, with the exception of that Jew, before the land, this recent incursion, there wasn't a Jew in Gaza. And so, you know what, they should have, in 2005, once that first missile came over, they should have attacked hard. But what they did is they said, you know, it's just a few people, it's not a lot of people, let's just wait and see, let's try to write it. And then more 10 missiles came over, 20 missiles, 30 missiles, and they said, no, let's try to negotiate, let's just, you know, sit back. They should have said, no, there cannot be anything, there can't even be a bullet coming over the border. And they should have.
So let me ask you interesting, because, you know, like they made a big deal that they stopped further talks of peace. I mean, that's like a joke, you know.
Hamas was never in the talks.
Not Hamas, but I'm saying the Palestinians. See, I have this whole theory that I'm sure you to some degree probably agree with, and I know you're way more knowledgeable in the whole Israel conflict over here. But I have a very strong feeling, just because seeing how things happen, that when people say I'm with the Palestinians, I'm not actually with Hamas, how much of that is true, a true statement, and how much of that is just sort of playing both sides of the game?
That's an easy answer. The question
is, the Palestinian is to the way I understand it, and the way what you read in the papers, and you really see what's going on. The Palestinian Authority today is not in control over Hamas, because obviously they would have removed Hamas from their midst. So the question is Palestinian Hamas the same hat? Just one day they wear it this way, and then when they go to battle, they turn it around?
I'll tell you the answer to that. Let's put it this way. Let's go back to our United States analogy. Before I was talking about, you know, terrorists putting missiles into the United States, what would we do? Let's do it the other way around now. Let's say United States had missiles going into Canada. The people of the United States, by a government, not our government, but someone took over with forcefully the government, like Hamas took over the government with arms, and then all of a sudden there was weapons. There would be demonstrations by peace-loving Americans saying, you cannot do this, and we won't allow it. So the day that there would be demonstrations, if you're a Palestinian and you were demonstrating against the Qassam rockets hitting the southern Israel, I would say you're different from Hamas. But if you didn't, you know, then your silence kind of made you part of the same, you know, part of the problem, let's call it. You cannot be silenced when injustice is going on. And that's what a lot of the Palestinians were. I'm waiting to see a Palestinian website that says, we want a Palestinian state, but we're not going to do it by targeting civilians in southern Israel.
So my question is, based on your analogy, you're basically echoing what I'm saying, that they're the same hat.
It's by actions, or basically more or less by inaction.
By lack of, right.
By lack of action, yes.
So at the end of the day, who are we sitting down to the table with? I mean, we could remove Hamas. In other words, this is.
Well, here's the thing. Fatah is a little bit less. They're not actually Islamic fundamentalists, whereas Hamas is militant fundamentalists. Okay, and so there's actually room for them to actually give up on it, whereas Hamas they'll have nothing of it. In theory, Hamas recognizes the state of Israel. They'll talk to them, you know, whereas Hamas doesn't even recognize the state of Israel.
Wow.
So
I just think this, you know, people don't really get the full picture here. I think we have to. That's why, you know, spending this time and discussing it hopefully will engage people to, you know, go to some more websites, read some more newspapers. Don't just read one angle of it, read both sides of it. And I think the more a person truly understands, and I like to say, make it personal. Make it personal means pretend it's happening by you. How would you think? How would you react? Because no one's asking you to think the way I think. I'm not asking you to agree with my opinion. I'm not telling people, you know, this is wrong and you must agree with me. What I'm telling you is open your mind and you tell me what you think.
Yeah, but most people, I think most people in this country, you know, understand, as I said earlier. What's the interesting thing is I will tell you how this could end easily.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas says, you know what? We are never going to fire another rocket into Israel again. And to prove it, we'll let some international people, you know, monitor that we won't. And then the fighting's over. Done. Over. Tomorrow, in minutes, it would be over.
Well, but Hamas has a mission to destroy Israel.
I'm just saying, but that's how it could be over. You have to pressure the people who are firing rockets at civilians and say, stop doing that. And believe it or not, there's some Arab countries who are saying to them, stop it. You know, like I mentioned, Egypt and Jordan and even Saudi Arabia have been saying, you know, guys, you can't do that.
On the top of the hour, did you hear about the clip I was telling people about with the Iranian children that are being taught today to, you know, to be martyrs and hate? What's your feelings on that?
Well, we're coming up to the end of the show here, so I think we'll let people email us about it, schmooze@schmoozeradio.com.
You got another minute and a half, I believe.
Okay. You know, what to do now, you have to do certain things now. If you want to have peace in the future, then you have to teach your children peace. And that's what I think about that.
No, it's true. Listen, at the end of the day, people don't realize that if you don't have children that are educated properly and you don't have a society that's educated, obviously evil will prevail and a lot of dismantling and destruction will continue on the world. I want to wish everyone really a great week.